Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Eric. I have a bit of anxiety going on.
Why?
I am preparing to take an exam in a couple weeks. Well, a little bit less than a couple of weeks, and I hate taking exams. In fact, when I got my CFP designation 21 years ago, I was like, that's it. I'm done. And then this financial transitionist and Sudden Money Institute came across my path, and I went, oh my gosh, that's perfect.
Nice.
So I am studying to be a certified financial transitionist and pass the exam in early November. And I will be so happy when it's over successfully.
That'll be great news. Today, I know we're talking about navigating uncertainty. What brought about this topic specifically for this podcast, Esther?
I'm talking about this a lot with clients now because I do think the next 5 to 10 years are going to be more challenging for personal financial planning than the last 5 to 10 years.
Why do you think that?
Well, we've had a pretty good run in the U.S. domestic stock market since 2009, the Great Recession with 2008-9, and it really impacted a lot of people. But amazingly enough, it's almost 10 years in the rearview mirror now, and the lowest return we've had in the U.S. market since then is a low of 1.4% total return, and that was in 2015. And other than that, we've had some really good market years. And I don't think that that is going to be continuing. I don't get paid to be a prognosticator, but I don't have a crystal ball, but I do think it's going to be more challenging because it's been such a long run and just the odds are that we're not likely to have that continue on going forward.
And if you look at the history of the market, it does go up and down and up and down and up and down for, you know, decades. So it makes sense that's probably going to be happening at some point.
Yeah, we have had a couple things change. We had a corporate tax cut that has gone into effect for 2018. That certainly was helpful to corporations' bottom line to have that cost reduced. So that spurred returns in 2018. But we have this trade war rhetoric going on, and interest rates are continuing to move up a bit gradually. I will disagree. Sorry, President Trump, I will disagree that they're out of control and it's crazy and all the things that he's saying. I think they're going very, very moderately, but interest rates are going up. And that is typically a sign that the economic environment is shifting. And typically that means that that's a good thing, that people are able to handle a higher rate of interest on loans, and corporations are too, and still be able to contribute to economic growth. And that's the debate that does go on is, oh my goodness, what if the Fed increases rates too rapidly and it chokes off growth, and then what? But they do seem to be moving quite slowly, a little at a time. There really isn't a large catalyst for upward movement in the market that economists are seeing. It doesn't mean that things are about to crash. It just means that really strong domestic equity stock market return numbers are much less likely to be the case going forward than they have been in the past.
Since the economy isn't certain and the stock market is not certain, politics aren't certain, what can you do with planning to help your clients?
That's a great question, and it's one of my favorite things to talk about. Hopefully I won't talk about this for the next hour and a half until you have to cut me off.
I'll need to eat at some point.
Okay. Really, with financial planning doesn't deliver certainty either. As we've talked about, mm-hmm. stock markets aren't certain, especially over the short term. Over the longer term, if one is committed for a minimum of 5 years, if not 10 years, that really, statistics show, put the odds in their favor of positive returns. But planning, what it does is really help get everything out on the table that someone is ruminating about. There is this sense that we all have it. It's part of how the brain works. The brain really loves certainty because then the brain feels safe, that we're safe. And mm-hmm. so if we got up yesterday and the day before that and the day before that and life was exactly basically the same, we got up, we had our cornflakes and our coffee, we got in the same car, drove basically the same route to work, saw the same people, that again, that's what we're likely to have happen moving forward. At Gates Pass, what we do is help women who are experiencing a financial transition attain financial balance so that they live a confident and fulfilled life. How do we do that given there isn't, you know, financial planning can't necessarily guarantee that either? And if one honestly looks at how we all spend our thinking time, what is it that we're ruminating on over and over? If it has to do with personal finances, that's an indication that something is kind of out of alignment. If we're worrying or coming up to the same thoughts over and over and not moving forward, planning can really help, because what we do is explore all of those things that are going on within somebody's mind. What are their fears, anxieties, worries? We think, by thinking and thinking and thinking, we can control the outcome. We can figure it out. We can master the situation. And it really doesn't work that way, because unfortunately, as we're thinking and thinking and thinking about something, we can tend to become more and more and more tunnel vision. And less exploring what the options are.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what we do is we put it all out on the table with a client, or I have the client ask, you know, build that relationship so that a client is more comfortable getting all the concerns, the ideas, the visions, the desires, the worries, as well as the actual numbers that they're dealing with, the actual balances. And we put it all out there and incorporate assumptions, possibilities, and really build a structure with them, with that, all of that information put together, so that once it's all out on the table, and you may have had this experience too. I know I certainly have. Recently, I went on a camping trip with my boyfriend and a whole group of people, 40 other people. It was just this last weekend. And partly I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I have to study for this exam and I have all this work at work and I've got to go camping and how will that fit? And I, you know, you got to get the food and you've got to cook and you've got to get the tent and all of this stuff together. And I asked my boyfriend, we were over dinner, and I said, can I just let you know what's going on in my head and just put it out there? And he said, sure. And I said, you don't have to solve it. You don't have to fix it. I just need to get it all out. And I did. And he basically said, all you need to do is bring your clothes and I will take care of everything else, which wasn't even a solution I was even considering.
And that's a nice solution.
It was a great solution. One of my favorite ever.
Yeah.
And whereas I'm thinking, okay, if I try and figure do this between 6 and 7 in the morning and do that between 3 and 4 and do that, and I'm limiting options. Mm-hmm. So that's how financial planning, it creates more certainty because we've explored a lot of possibilities together.
It sounds like kind of like you're planning for the camping trip, you're planning for these different things. Your clients bring you what they need to have, you know, or for you to prepare. They can just bring it all to you. And then this is where you actually sit down and say, you know what, now this is where I step in. I start to take care of these things.
Correct. And it's taking care of and giving professional advice and bringing that professional and experienced perspective to it. And then continuing to draw the client out, continuing to say, okay, well, for example, I have a client who is really ruminating over a situation that's really challenging. He's got a beautiful home in the wine country, beautiful setting. And it was really a vision that spurred this. This is where and how he wanted to live. And with this property, he can generate a wonderful level of passive income as well as live on the site. And it's just gorgeous. But something has changed since when he first developed this idea and the property was built and constructed and partly rented and they lived there. And that is, we're experiencing some climate change here in California. We have had a number of very serious wildfires in the past several years. And when the home was in the vision stage and the building stage, that wasn't the case. So now he's ruminating all the time, or quite often. He might not say it's all the time, but oh my gosh, should we stay or should we go? What's, you can't control the wildfire. So how do you navigate that? And that is the process that we're in. We're putting everything on the table, what the options are, and building that perspective through the planning of, okay, here it is right now. This is your situation. This is what your vision is to stay here, rent out part of the property, live there, and use that money for your retirement income. Let's put that all out and see how that looks. Now, let's do a scenario where all of a sudden the property is lost. Let's look at what the impact of that is. And let's keep talking about that in terms of, okay, and what if you sold it now? What about that? Again, we can't deliver the certainty that with this plan, you'll never have a wildfire.
No.
But it is saying, what are the possibilities and what is the impact to you so that we continue to use our fabulous brains to really map out other options and possibilities. And when we do that, and this has been my case as well in my own life with my own planner, we gain a level of control. We can say to that mind that says, oh my goodness, I know, as I've talked about in previous podcasts, I grew up in a very financially unstable home. So I can have this message of, oh, it's good now, but you know, you just wait. It's all going to blow up. It's all going to be bad. I mean, that's something I navigate. And it gives actual tools and information to say to that brain, thanks very much, but that was 45 years ago. That is not today. But thanks very much. I appreciate your concern. And you can move forward and live a different level of life.
And getting a professional, we've talked before about this, it removes a lot of the emotion because they are an objective party, we hope. And that, you know, that helps the process because they put all the options on the table, even some that we may not want to consider because our emotions are involved in something. But that's ideal. But how do we know that the professional is being objective?
Right, exactly. That is tricky. I think it's challenging for the consumer in the financial advisory marketplace to know that. One of the things is how does, one of the things for a consumer to check is how does the advisor get paid? Are they paid at any level? It doesn't mean commissions are bad. I want to be really clear about that for my commission-based colleagues. But are they compensated at all based on the recommendations that are made? You know, that can challenge objectivity. One of the things that can come up in the work that I do, because my clients are the only ones that pay me, but even so, let's say I say, oh, I think you need to keep a mortgage on your property and not pay it off. A question came up, well, are you being objective or are you just trying to manage more of my assets? And I will say, this is why I recommend this. And if you want, we can keep it in another account or something like that that you manage. But this is why, because once you pay that mortgage off, you don't have that expense, but you also don't have those liquid assets. And as we look forward, it looks like you will need them in the future to fund other expenses. And if a client has concerns with their current advisor, whether or not they are truly objective, it's fine. Just like with doctors, you can get a second opinion. Just about every advisor will offer a 30-minute to one-hour complimentary consultation. So that's a perfect thing.
Esther, that's a great point. So now I have to ask, do you offer that?
Of course. It's really important. It's for me to meet with just about anybody who is interested in considering another advisor or our services. I have had a couple women recently who have become clients because they came in with a level of concern. They didn't feel like their current advisor was really reaching out to them at all. And their lives were changing and shifting, and they hadn't heard from them. And they are aware of market shifting, not necessarily shifting, but that they have seen more volatility. And given the transitions that they're going to, they've been feeling uneasy. And what we've been talking about is that they're not making it up. The market is becoming more volatile. And one of the reasons is because that we have this rhetoric about escalating a trade war with China. And on the manufacturing side, our supply chain for the products that we use and use every day, it's very complex how those products come together. It is a global production environment. And if we continue with a trade war with China, production costs could increase for our companies. Agriculture can be impacted because there's a lot of agricultural products that get exported, purchased by China. And tariffs themselves on goods we are purchasing in from China, if they respond as well, just having those costs go up is inflationary itself. So there is all this uncertainty about this particular issue about trade wars with China. And as we have heard, that's that old saying that says the stock market doesn't like uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And with that, we've had some pretty large point sell-offs in this year of 2018. It's recovered, but it's still those sell-offs are really unnerving. I like to think about it. We've gone through in 2000, in the 2000s decade, we went through 2001, 2002, 3 years of negative returns back to back. And as I said earlier, we haven't even had any negative returns since 2008. That was the 1 year. It was a big negative. But 2009 all the way through to so far, 2018, we haven't experienced a negative year in the U.S. stock market. And when it starts rattling, that volatility, it can trigger what I consider investment PTSD. After people experience that tech bubble crash, the market crash of 2008, there can be this, as I mentioned in an earlier podcast on termites, this termite of getting frozen and having a hard time moving forward about what should I do with my portfolio? It's there. In one case, portfolio has done really well. One case of the women that I mentioned a moment ago, because it is 95% invested in U.S. large cap stocks. And it's been a great market for U.S. large cap stocks. But she is nearing retirement at this point. And moving forward, it's my opinion that that is not the most secure portfolio for her to have, even though it's grown tremendously.
Yeah, that seems a little risky.
I think it's a lot risky, especially when we're considering this is your retirement for when that paycheck stops. Another transition, a planned transition, but it's still a transition. When that paycheck stops, it's not easy to go to a place of relying fully on your portfolio for some people. Some people are like, yay, that sounds great. But when we go through times of market volatility, which means the market can plunge, and like I mentioned, in the early 2000s, it was down in 2000, it was down in 2001, it was down in 2002. And I've worked with clients through those times, and they're still with me and still together and still enjoying their retired life. But it is not easy. And I speak a lot about just putting the odds in our favor. One needs to have buffers and reserves. That's how we also got through 2008 with those planned reserves in place to meet the planned expenses that we had discussed. So going back to the beginning of this podcast, it's not that financial planning can control the outcome. Gosh, I wish I could have predicted the 2008 decline or what happened in the early 2000s. It's more that it allows for us to put in place reserves for the unexpected. So taking the step of action to put it all out on the table, all those concerns in one's mind or all the opportunities that they're thinking about, really starts the process of one's financial life getting into what I call right size, where it's not so overwhelming. Even though we cannot predict the future, it can certainly be navigated. And I've got more to say on this topic, but I think, Eric, we are running low on time. So I would like to continue. I've got more examples of client and client experiences and what's going on today. So could we continue on our next podcast on these topics?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Okay, good. And I just want to end today with a bit of a story, because I think one of the things that holds consumers or potential clients or not existing clients, but clients back from really moving forward is they can be worried about the pace. You know, if I go into an advisor's office, am I going to walk out with, you know, the advisor taking over all my money and telling me what to do and all of this, you know, am I going to lose control? And in for clients that come into my firm, it's not like that at all. I really want the client to set the pace. And sometimes I do slow the client down because I think they're rushing too fast and we'll miss something important if we do rush. And I got the opportunity to, you've seen those scooters around, lots of people in lots of cities, they have these scooters that people are buzzing around on. And over this past weekend, a friend had one and he said, oh, try it out. And I got on it and he said, I'm going to set it at the lowest speed, which was a setting of one. I think it was 1 to 5, one being the slowest. And I got on it and I'm sort of holding on to this thing. I used to skateboard in my teens, so I was able to, and ski, I guess, and also, and I was able to pull on those skills, but I was wobbly at first. And I was like, oh my gosh, what if it crashes? And I could just only envision a horrible, horrific accident. But I got to tell you, after a few more times on that thing, I got to, by the end of the weekend, I was at a 4 and I couldn't wait to, you know, see how much farther I could go. So it's kind of like that with planning and working with an advisor. Allow yourself to start at speed one. And if you're not feeling comfortable, but the advisor's wanting you to push to 3 and 4, well, that's a sign that it's not the right fit for you. And when you can find that connection and find that new relationship that is really working, it's so fun and enjoyable to really have those tools to lead your life and explore in a new way.
That sounds fantastic. Sounds like you had a good time.
It was so fun.
Sounds like it. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast today with Esther Szabo. We are going to be coming back next time with this continued topic, and she'll have a lot more examples, a lot more to share. So I hope you join us. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. It also makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friend and family. Thank you again for listening. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day. Every day. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.